The Tax Inspector, written by Peter Carey and read by Isabella Yenner. In the morning, Kathy McPherson put 3 soft-boiled eggs outside Benny Catchprice's door, and in the afternoon she fired him from the spare parts department. That's who she was, his father's sister. They were both the same, big ones for kissing and cuddling, but you could not predict them. You could not rely on them for anything important. They had great soft lips, and they had a family smell, like almost rancid butter which came from deep in their skin. From the thick shafts of their wiry hair, they smelt of this, from within them, but also of things they had touched or swallowed. Motor oil, radiator hoses, lifesavers, different sorts of alcohol, beer, Benedictine, altar wine on Sundays. She was the one who stroked his ear with her small guitar-calloused fingers and whispered, "I love you, little Ben-Ben." But she was still a Catchprice, and it was not a contradiction that she fired him. Kathy was married to Howie, who had a pencil-line moustache, a ducktail, and a secret rash which stopped in a clear line at his collar and the cuffs of his shirt. He had the ducktail because he was a rockabilly throwback. Sleepy LaBeef, Charlie Feathers, Mickey Gilley, all the losers of rock and roll, they were his heroes. He had this rash because he hated Catchprice Motors, but no one ever said that. Kathy and Howie sat behind the counter of the spare parts department as if they were Shire engineers or pharmacists. They had a waiting room. They set it up with ferns and pots and pans, so it smelt of damp and chemical fertilizer and rotting sawdust. In the places on the wall where any normal car business had charts of KLG spark plugs and color calendars from Turtle Wax, they had the photograph of Kathy shaking hands with cowboy Jack Clement, the frame letter from Ernest Tubb, the photograph of the band on stage at the Tamworth Festival, Craig on bass guitar, Kevin on drums, Steve Putzel on piano, and Kathy herself out front with a bright red Fender and huge snakeskin boots she got mail order from Music City News. The band was called Big Mac. If they had paid as much attention to Catchprice Motors as they paid to it, there would have been no crisis ever. Until the Friday afternoon they fired him, Benny worked on the long bench which ran at right angles to the front counter where Kath and Howie sat, like Tweedledum and Tweedledee. Behind him were the deep rows of grey metal bins. Above his head was the steel mesh floor of the body panel racks. In front of him was a sweaty white brick wall and a single turquoise GE fan which swung back and forth, but which was never pointed the right way at the right time. He was 16 years old. He had unwashed brown hair, which curled up behind his ears and fell lankily over his left eye. He had slender arms and a collarbone which formed a deep well between his neck and shoulder. He worked with a Marlboro in his mouth, a Walkman on his head, a Judas Priest t-shirt with vents cut out and the sleeves slashed so you could see the small, shiny scar on his upper right arm.